Well, you ever think we'd be in a mess the way we are in this world today? I don't think anybody here would see that we'd be in this kind of a mess that we're in. And our world is in a mess. It is. And America is probably the messiest of the bunch. Because we should know better. We have more churches than any other country. More people professing to be believers, but our actions are showing differently. Wow. We're supposed to be leading the way. We're chasing our own tails, what we're doing. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. Well, we keep trying to, don't we? Wow. Well, today, last year at this time, during the Palm Sunday, I preached on Palm Sunday, but not this year. This year, we're going to the crucifixion and the death, because I don't get to do that too much next week, because I get excited about next week. But you have to talk about this dark moment. And we're going to talk about the dark moment today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John. We're going to start here in John today. I'm sorry, we're going to be in Luke. We're going to go to John, but we'll be in Luke today, 23. But it's amazing to me what is happening into our country. I never really thought we'd get that crazy. I think this is still just the beginning stages. Our church, Christians are not under persecution yet. But it kind of looks like it's heading that direction. It really does. But this is nothing new, God. This is nothing new for God. Evil always wants to be loud. Evil always wants to punish. If you don't agree with them, it's a punishment. We're seeing that today. You don't agree? And folks, let me tell you, this is not political. That's just part of that's just tools. There's a darkness that we don't. This is just a darkness and evil. And it is Satan's army of darkness and demons that are doing demonic work and evil. Because Satan hates man. He hates man. And he goes and he fights men and tempts men to sin. It causes a lot of problems. He's been doing it for a long time. And he's still doing it. I believe he loves taking down people, but he loves taking down a nation even more. And we are one of the most selfish nations in the world. This is not about political. I'm telling you, political, there's a part of it. That's I get that. But let me tell you, you think, you know, you want to get all these groups together and everybody, you know, they want to protest and all these things. Let me tell you something. We need to go back to God's Word. Because protests change over time. People's beliefs, sometimes they'll change over time. What they feel is the most important thing will change over time. But let me remind you, God's Word is still the same as it was yesterday. It was the same as it was, as it was lived, and as it was written, and as it was prophesied. Today we're talking, well, we have talked about the Last Supper a couple of weeks ago, and then we also talked last week about the garden and the arrest of Jesus, which was just a bad thing, being arrested for something that he did not do. Here we find today, we're going into the dark side of it as it's getting darker. And dark side has a moment. Darkness has a moment here in history. And the reason it has a moment is because we're all sinful. But I want to share with you, because we don't have time to get in all these things and all these details, but I do want to share an overview of some of the things that happened to Jesus. First of all, I want to talk about the Jews and how they treated Jesus. The Jews arrested Jesus. They mocked Jesus and they insulted Jesus. Some were telling lies and giving false testimony about Jesus. They blindfolded him. They hit him. They slapped him and they punched him. They spit on him. They beat him. Basically, they gave him a beat down. And they yelled and demanded, "Crucify, crucify." Then we have Pilate, who did two things that was made, two major things. One, he commanded Jesus to be flogged. And number two, he commanded Jesus to be crucified. Then we have the Roman soldiers. They flogged Jesus. It's a cat of nine tails, 39 lashes. Some people say it's not in scriptures, but I'll share with you a little bit. It is not exactly in that frame, but we're going to see here in a moment. They stripped Jesus. They twisted a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. They spit on him and they hit him. And let me just tell you, the punch from a soldier is going to be much more than from someone who's not a soldier, because they are in shape. They stripped him again. They forced Jesus to carry his own cross. They nailed his hands and his feet to a wooden cross. They gambled his clothes away. This is what we all see in the New Testament. But we also can go back to some other Old Testament. I'm only going to give you two references today. Isaiah chapter 50 tells us this: I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. And Isaiah 52 says, see, my servant will be successful. He will be raised and lifted up, greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form did not resemble a human being. Can we get the idea right now through the scripture that Jesus had a beatdown like no other? I believe that, honestly, in my own personal opinion, is what he got should have killed any person. God gave him the strength to go through because he had to finish. I believe that my own personal thoughts is that Satan wanted to beat him down so bad he couldn't get to the cross. But God gave him strength enough to make it to the cross. But here we find out in Luke. So today we're going to talk about what has happened now that some of those things have already happened. Some are still yet to come. But I want to go into four areas today of what is happening from that moment after the flogging. Barabbas is let loose, and now Jesus is going to carry his cross to the skull, to Golgotha. Folks, let me just tell you, it's something that we cannot do on our own. And I will tell you this, I would not do it myself because I couldn't do it. I don't have that much love in me to do that for you or even myself. But I am thankful that Jesus does. Prompted by the love of God. You see, the last time, remember, God destroyed the earth by water and found a righteous man named Noah. But even him wasn't enough. You put life in the man's hand, you put the life in the hands of men, and we will find a way to rebel against God. On this earth, we will. But here we find that Jesus is now carrying the cross and he is on his way. We know that he couldn't finish carrying it, but we know that he was carrying it. In verse 27 of Luke chapter 23, a large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Look, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the women without children, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, and cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Wow, a lot of little things are going on here. But what Jesus is saying, he's saying, weep for your own sins. This is why I'm going, for you. Weep for your sins. The sins of your children, which will cause my death. Weep with fear if you reject his love, his grace, and his salvation. Folks, let me tell you right now, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the most blessed individual on the face of the earth. There is a day coming when there will be a judgment, the great white throne judgment. Those of you that are saved will not be a part of that, but the great white throne judgment will be a hard judgment, but it will be truth. And it will be justice People talk about justice today, but they want to put justice in their own hands, but not in the justice of God. People judge unrighteously, but God will judge. Jesus will judge righteously. Men judge unrighteously. Knowing that God gave Jesus to such sufferings, that to sacrifice for sin, what will he do with the sinners who reject it? Jesus is going to the cross. They will be separated from eternity. That's why he said, "Do not weep for me." He knows where he is going, to the right hand of his Father. He's ready. This is the moment. But he has business to do, to shed his blood and to give his life for us that we cannot do on our own. But he doesn't say, "Weep for me." He says, "Weep for your own children. For a day will come when they will grow to that age of accountability, whatever that may be in their heart and mind, and however God has that, then it is on them to choose who they shall serve, either God and receive Christ or deny Christ and serve their own way in this world and face Jesus as their judge and jury." And then he moves on after he has gotten there, after he has carried that cross and that wood beam up to that hill of the skull, then we see that he is placed between. He's put up there and they began to do some things there. Verse 32, two other criminals were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." This scripture began to come up in my mind as I was at the Capitol, as I began to see, now I will probably get turned off when I say this from our preaching online right now, but when I saw and heard the crowds about chanting there when our state Congress was in session there for to talk about a law, there was a group of individuals just yelling, and basically they were against the law that Indiana wants to put forth, and they were a group of transgenders. It wasn't as many as I thought. It sounded like there were 300, but there was only like 20 to 25 maybe at that most. But what I saw there was I got aggravated because we couldn't even have conversations because they were so loud and so loud. But as I began to go throughout the day and I seen them again and seen them again, I began to get to this point, and this scripture began to keep coming up to me. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They're blinded by their sin. They are blinded by their sin. They are blinded by the ways of the world that is leading them. But we want to be like the disciples when Jesus was, before he was arrested, we want to be like them. Or when he was arrested, we want to fight a fight in the flesh. It's not a fight of the flesh. This is a spiritual fight. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." They're putting the Son of God and crucifying. He is innocent. And yet evil is the power behind of all of this. And there's so much sin in the moment. The world will continue to keep rejecting Jesus. But let me remind you, this is God's world. This is his big rock. He's the one that created the trees and the moon and the stars and all the things and all the creepy things that crawl and all the birds that fly and all those things. There was a moment when he knew the dinosaurs. We know we had the bones. We don't know. We see little bones. We might see movies. But he knew them, and they're his. Science will never always come to an agreement on things. Science is always changing, always evolving, but God's word remains the same. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whoa. Right out, first statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We serve a God who knows how to work it, and it is his. And it's amazing to me that his mercy is so much bigger than any dictionary definition. Because how long has this world been in his mercy and merciful hands? So long. He is so patient. He is so loving. But folks, don't forget that he also is a God of judgment. He also is a God who is a jealous God. He's a God that can have a righteous anger. He's a God that disciplines. And we see that he asked the Father to forgive them. And when I read that, I always go back to the garden where he was wrestling and praying, Lord, let not this cup pass from me. He kept praying. Scripture says he kept praying the same thing. And then an angel came down. Didn't say angels like when he was born and gave a great glory and praising when he came, but it was one angel. Didn't give a name. Didn't want to glorify the name because it was all about Jesus. And the angel came down, and the scripture says, pretty much encouraged him, strengthened him. And then he was able to say, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. I wonder how many times God has used, I said angels, and used his Holy Spirit to encourage us. Amen. But then you have the crowd that's blinded. Blinded people stood watching in verse 35, and even the leaders were scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself. If this is Jesus, if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Listen, he's not about saving himself. He's about saving you. He didn't need to come and save himself. He gave himself. He gave his life so that we might have life. They were seeing it as another thing, that life is the most most treasured possession in the world. But Jesus spent so much time saying, don't build up treasures here on earth. Build them up in heaven. Eternal treasures. For there is the eternal home. This is all temporary. This is but for a moment. And they said, save yourself. He's not here to save himself. He was here to save you and I. And the inscription said, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. And the inscription was above him, this is the king of the Jews. And then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell an insult at him. And we know some of the scribes, some of the Pharisees said, hey, they went to Pilate and wanted to tell him, change it. Change it. Say he said he was king of the Jews. No, Pilate said, what I have written, I've written. He's the king of the Jews. Why? Because he is the king of the Jews. Wow. And then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Even there, it was all about saving yourself. Save yourself. But the other rebuked him. Don't you even fear God since you are under the same punishment? We are punished justly because we are getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now many believe that these two were in cahoots with Barabbas. Because they were in that injunction, that group that was revolting. That's how quickly they put them on there. It's what they believe. But regardless, the criminal says, we are guilty. And folks, we all ought to be able to say the same thing. That we are guilty. But Jesus has done nothing wrong. Amen? If anything, he is guilty of his loving us so much. And he says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, Jesus said, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is on the cross, and the gospel is already kicking off. It's already kicking off. It's already working. Here we know at the cross, people are beginning to come to Jesus. That's how powerful it is. That's why Satan didn't want him to go. Tried to give him that total beat down to death before he got there, because this needed to happen for men and women to come to God for eternal life with God instead of being separated from God. Folks, this is a time of pain and suffering. But the door of grace is opening. Do you understand that? The Old Testament is closed. There's this weird time when Jesus is on the earth. John the Baptist talking about salvation, baptism, all that stuff. And now we begin to see Jesus' life is beginning to close. He's getting ready to die here on earth. But as he's dying, grace is beginning to open. Do you understand that? That grace is beginning to open. This is going to change everything on the face of the world. Everything is changing. And this is the moment when the man says, "Remember me." What? That statement rang out so loud when you enter into your kingdom. From a sinful sinner who even admits that he deserves to die. Yet we see the scribes and we see the holy ones walking around with their robes thinking they're all that. And God's grace is right there on a sinner, a criminal. And God is still doing that today. Because he did it to you and he did it to me. And then we move to the death. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light had failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down in the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he entered his last. And when the centurion saw that happen, he began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous." Some version will say, "This man truly is and was the Son of God." All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Wow, there is a lot here. Let's work this just for a moment. Here it is. God turned out the lights. God turned out the lights. Why? Because it's his world. He can turn out the sun anytime he chooses to. We know that Jesus was all that sin upon him, and we believe God, as though like God had could not look upon sin and had turned away. If you want to know some other details, there are some others in the Gospels. I challenge you to read it during this time and this season. And we see that is completely dark. That had to have been a physical sign for people like, what is going on? It's in the afternoon. There is no storm clouds here. What is going on? And then the curtain of the sanctuary and the temple split. God said, "I ain't forgot you either." This is powerful stuff. That Holy of Holies, it's done. That curtain, all that stuff from back in the day where this priest would be able to go back in there and they tie a rope on him just in case he's sitting, they had to pull him out of what, all that stuff, and only he can go back there. Nope, God's saying, anybody now can come to me. Wow. You don't have to go through all the priests. You don't have to go through all the, you just come to me. Woo! You just come on and come to me. Don't have to throw out a bunch of more. You don't have to get no doves and sacrifice. You don't have to do no oxen. You don't have to do any lambs. You don't have to do that. We don't have all those escape sheeps. We don't have all that stuff. No, here it is. Here it is. You just come to me. But folks, that's grace. You just come to me. You just come on to me. All that stuff is pushed aside. And you just come to me. Yet man still says, "I don't want it." Jesus offers eternal life, and people say, "I don't want it." People, he offers eternal life in the presence of God and the angels, and to be like the angels, the scripture says, not be an angel, but be like the angels. And people don't want it because that's how strong sin is. People want sin. People choose sin. Jesus is dying. All blood is leaking out. Remember the scriptures? It was unrecognizable. Total beat down. He is bleeding just everywhere. Can imagine the pool of blood all down that, all down the cross, all down and on the bottom, leaking everywhere. And Jesus says, it's finished. Death didn't say it was finished. Because, folks, he could have just and walked right off. He said, I don't think so. But he said, it is finished. He said it was finished. Not death. And Paul writes, says, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? Woo! Jesus conquered death. Death didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance. Now, we are not Jesus. We are humans. We are still sinful. We have to make a choice. Matthew 27 says this, but Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit, and suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn to the top and to the bottom. But also it says the earth quaked. It's an earthquake. Now I believe that that just wasn't an earthquake in Jerusalem. I believe the whole world was shook. It said the earth quaked. It didn't say an earthquake. It said the earth quaked. Because this just wasn't something here in Jerusalem. This is something for the whole world. And when the light's going to shine on Jesus, it's going to shine on everything. And even though people across the world, wherever they was, however the world was, they didn't know who Jesus was, but I'm telling you, the news is going to get out. And we know that as Jesus dies, we know that Satan changes tactics. Now he's attacking the believers. Same things, but just different ways he does it in some things. But it also says the earth quaked and the rocks split. Rocks began to split. The earth felt it. It wasn't right. It didn't seem right that the Son of God was taking on pain and suffering and dying. Where everything on earth was shifted from its beauty and perfection because man had sinned. We also see that a Roman soldier testifies and gives glory to God. The gospel is already working. The gospel is working. Folks, did you get that? Not only was there a criminal that believed in Jesus, now we have, at the very beginning stages, we have a Roman soldier who is considered an enemy, giving praise to God. This man really was righteous. We see other versions. This man truly was the Son of God. Nobody else said it. You see how easily believers can be, people of God can be blinded. Be careful that you are not blinded by your own self-righteousness. As the scribes and Pharisees and all those who were walking around, they were blinded. And then we have another strange thing happen that we skip over in Scripture. What does it say? It says this right here. All the crowds that had gathered from this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, they went home striking their chests. Many of them went home in fear God was going to do something. They already heard, they already saw the darkness. They felt the earthquake. The rocks were splitting. They're hearing this. They're hearing comments by other people. They're going home in fear of God, beating their chest. We missed that group there. We missed that group there. Everybody there was affected in some way. You wasn't getting out of that spot if you were there. You weren't getting out of it without being affected in some way. Hmm. All I know is at the cross, people began to change. They began to change. And Jesus dies. Not because death says so, but because he said, I entrust my spirit. It is finished. And then it goes to a burial. It goes to a burial. Burial, I'm going to turn over to John chapter 38. Or John chapter 19. Where am I? John chapter 19. And verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might remove Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission, so that he came and took his body away. And Nicodemus, who had previously come to him at night, also came bringing a mixture of about 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes. They took Jesus' body and wrapped him in linen cloths with the fragrant spices, according to the burial customs of the Jews. There was a garden in the place where he was crucified. A new tomb was in the garden. No one had yet been placed in it. They placed Jesus there because of the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby. I want to share a couple of things out of this. There is Joseph. There is a man named Joseph. Scripture says he was a disciple. I want to remind you that there were more than just the 12 disciples. It was not one of the original 12 disciples. And God is already using his disciples. And he chose not to use one of them, but to choose another. A follower of Christ. Folks, it says, because of his fear of the Jews, he asked Pilate that he might remove Jesus' body. Let me tell you, sometimes we have some fear in life. But when we trust in God, we move in direction. And we even might have a little bit of that fear, but we know that we need to do what God's called us to do, even though we sometimes have a little fear with us. Sometimes we think we can't do anything if we have a little bit of fear. Listen, use that, ignite that, use it, and move forward. And he does it. And he asks for the body of Jesus. Folks, that is a special moment. This man asked that he could get the body of Jesus. And then we have another person. This old guy named Nicodemus. I like Nicodemus. Scripture says Nicodemus, he's the same Nicodemus that met Jesus in the night. He also gathered up some things for this burial for Jesus. John chapter 3, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you are the teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again? And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. And then he says, do not be amazed that I tell you that you must be born again. I bet that it reigned in his mind when he's taking the body of Jesus that you must be born and again. And all this is starting to open up, and he begins to understand what this might be all about. And what is this all about? That you get a chance in life to get it right. A fresh start. But a fresh start is never a fresh start without Jesus Christ. You've done life too long without him. And now it's time to do life with him. And I promise you, it will be different. And even if it gets hard and tough, it will be better than having all the dreams of your worldly desires. This is about repenting and being born again, turning from your ways, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being born again. This is about stopping and pretending and make a choice and quit putting Jesus out there saying, someday I'll come to Him. Someday, maybe I'll think about it. Tomorrow, maybe. But today, I choose to do it my way. This is the moment where God allows a man to get himself right with God. But you have to do it through Jesus Christ. You can get your life right, but you must do it through Jesus Christ and in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This dark day of the death of Christ was so that the door of grace and salvation would open. And boy, is it bright. And it is good. And it is peaceful. It's crazy that you get all your sins washed away. That even though your uncle, your aunt, your family can judge you by those, and sometimes there is consequences of sin, but in the front of the eyes of God and the Christ, they are forgiven. Forgiven. They put Jesus in a tomb. And they sealed it up. But you can't seal Jesus up. Just like you can't seal up a good, solid Christian's mouth. Or a preacher who's preaching the word. Or somebody out there that's testifying about Jesus. Somebody that's praying with someone. You can't shut them up. Because the gospel demands to be heard. Because the gospel is the only hope for a lost and dying world. And today, if you have Christ, you have it. You have it. But don't take it lightly. Understand and know what the fear of the Lord is in a different way. In the right way. A righteous fear of God. Understand and know what it is to know that when people that are lost, that don't know Christ, where they're going. So the urgency of sharing the gospel and praying at the crossroads for them becomes important to you because it's more important. It's so important and more important for them that somebody would pray for them, even if they don't act like you. And they don't look like you. Listen, the things we talk about, those who are under addiction, those who are under porn addiction, those who are looking to change their identities and their sexual things and all that stuff, listen, that's who He came for. If we learn, if we can understand and know, and even those politicians that you don't like and you're like, man, I just want to. Listen, if anybody had a right to do it, Jesus did, and He didn't do it. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I know in the flesh I get steamed up and I get hot a little bit, but I need to be reminded, if anybody needed to do that and could do that righteously, would be Jesus, and He chose not to. Doesn't mean we don't stand up for the things and rights. It doesn't mean those things. But if we put more time in our prayer time, praying for those instead of always pointing fingers and criticizing them and putting them down, I think there's more power in prayer than our mouth talking with people. Folks, Jesus didn't come to save Himself. He came to save people because He knew there was no other way. Done with all sacrifices because He is the ultimate sacrifice. Isn't it ironic to you that they don't even do sacrifices today, but yet they still won't believe Him, but they don't? God shut it all down. for the moment. I don't know what your relationship with God is like, but I'm telling you this, God does. Christ does. And you can say you can believe in God, you can say you believe in Jesus, but I'm asking you this, do you know the Holy Spirit? Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have God, you don't have Jesus. We don't go there too much about that, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, let me tell you don't have Jesus, you don't have God, you don't. So you need to make sure that you are solid on this thing. Because you don't miss heaven by an inch. You miss it because you just don't have Jesus Christ. You don't get into heaven by an inch or by doing things. You get in only by Jesus Christ. So it's either you go with Jesus or you go without Him. That's it. It's very simple. With Jesus, without Him. Do you have Him or not? Because I'm sad to say that I think there's a lot of church members across the world. Church membership don't get you into heaven. And getting sprinkled and baptized just doesn't get you into heaven. You just do it just to do it. There's a purpose and a reason for it. If this ain't right with Him, ain't nothing right. Father, today, made an attempt to share your death and burial. Now I pray and call upon you, Lord, in the name of Christ, that your Holy Spirit would move upon us in a way that only you can. That you would speak to the people in the way that only you can. You know what each one of us needs. You know what each one of us needs to do in our life. Needs to accept, whatever it may be. I pray we do that today. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.